Praise God. Well, we're going to get into the word here, and we're closing out a series we started at the beginning of this month called The Kingdom Way, which is about how we live our lives in light of the rule of Christ, who is our King. And as we've been talking about, when you hear me say that, that sounds pretty straightforward, right? How many have ever heard the phrase, God said it, I believe it, that settles it? Anyone ever heard that before? Even if you haven't, sometimes that can just be a mindset in people's minds when they hear, well, Jesus is the King, he tells me what to do, I should do it, okay? That should settle it, okay? But often it's not settled, because the things that when the Lord commands things that often go against what we think is wise, what we think is sensible, rational, or beneficial. He's often going in the opposite of the direction we want to go. People have this idea that I'm free in Christ, so that I'm free to do me. That's not what that is. You are free to serve him. That's what you're free to do. You're free to obey him, because you couldn't do that when the enemy had you. You know, when you're not a believer, you can't do right, even if you want to. You don't have the capacity to. You may do a few good things here and there, but sin is such that you cannot please the Lord. So when Jesus saves you, he removes the sin no longer can stop you from living right before God. Because now you have Jesus has paid the price and the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. You now have the power to live righteously. You get to live right. It's not that you have to, you get to. But sometimes we call ourselves exercising our options, and we opt out of obedience to the Lord. Because we think freedom in Christ is freedom to be me, to do me. People preach that way. It's like a motivational talk. You know, you can just do whatever you want. You can't. Well, you can, but you can't. Your option is to obey Jesus. That's your option. Even though you can do other things, when you serve Christ, that's the deal. When you come to Jesus, that's what we're doing. I'm your master. This is what Jesus is your Lord. Jesus is your master. And he's going to say things you don't even like to hear. But because you've committed to him, I'm going to do it. I don't even want to go in that direction. But he told me to go, I'm going. I don't even want to deal with that person. But he told me to bless them, so I'm going to do it. So what happens is because we think Christianity is about us, the Holy Spirit can be speaking to us, and then we don't recognize it's him, not realizing it's the Holy Spirit trying to get our attention. Amen. And to just bring this point home, I'm going to quote a passage that we've talked about several times before in Isaiah 55, verse 8. We got to remind ourselves, God is saying, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. So listen, God's like, we think differently. Let's just start off there. We think differently. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. When we talk about the heavens, we're talking about really outer space. That's what he's referring to, all of the outer realms, right? So really, God's thinking is light years away from ours. He's smarter than us. He's more intelligent than us. He's more insightful than us. Okay? Now, we can sit there and say, well, we don't think alike. We got a problem. Well, here's the issue, though. At the same time, God wants to share his mind with us. He wants to share with us. God wants somebody to talk to. Not because he's lonely, but because he wants to share what he has with his prized creation. That's humanity. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to share with you. You know, Adam and Eve were like that in the garden. They were just, God was just walking with them in the garden. He wants to be like that with us. You have somebody you can talk to. You know, one of the things I like about being bivocational, I'm bivocational, I teach at Biola and I also teach here, is like, I'm an intellectual person. I need to be around people I can talk to. Some people don't have a high toleration for high intellectual conversation all the time. So I got to be in a place where people talk that way all the time. It feeds something in me, okay? And you might be a certain kind of person that likes certain kind of things, and the people you're around most of the time, they don't like talking about that. But then you got to go to a place where people like talking about that. Where people enjoy that, the particular thing you're interested in. And God is interested in higher things. And he wants a people that will have conversation with him about those things. Everybody's not willing to do that. So he wants to share his mind with us so that we can. Now God expounds on this desire with us. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, first letter to the Corinthians. He says this, yet among the mature, We do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. I'm going to read that again. He says, yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. There's a wisdom God is imparting, and you can't get it from scrolling on your phone. Even though we got Siri AI, Google has a new AI service, it seems like it can tell you everything. You know, it's tempting. You go and Google something, and the first thing up is the AI generator. And it's so tempting to just, man, I wonder what else they can give me. And you just spend all your time there. We just talked about that with the young people. We're talking about doom scrolling, okay? And how easy it is to doom scroll, right? It's there because it just has so much for you. I mean, you don't even have to really talk to people anymore. You can just get information, you know, from your phone. You can Google. You can anything you want to know how to do, you can just YouTube, find a YouTube or anything you want to do. It seems like it could just do what God can do. But it can't. God's like, I got wisdom you can't find on that phone. You can scroll all day. You can go on YouTube. You can Google. AI can do whatever. I have wisdom AI can't give you. It ain't from this world. But who do I give it to? Go back to the top of verse 6. It says, yet among the mature. Ain't that something? You would think it would say, well, for the ignorant people. That's the ones who need the wisdom. If you mature, you already, but it don't work like that. You know why the unwise people don't have wisdom? Because they don't like wisdom. They don't want to hear it. Wisdom, it ain't always pleasant to hear. It's good for you, though. There's a lot of things. Just think about the analogy is food. There's a lot of food that's real good for you, but it's not pleasant to eat. But it's good for you. Notice you're not qualified for this wisdom unless you're already mature. Let's continue. 1 Corinthians, actually the next verse, verse 7, it says, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. It's secret, it's hidden. What you hiding it for, Lord? Because it's not concealed from you, it's concealed for you. It's an encrypted message. By the way, that's what speaking in tongues is. Encrypted messages. Encrypted messages, okay? We're not going to spend a lot of time here, but you go to 1 Corinthians, and it talks about how when you speak to God, you speak in mysteries. In the ancient world, a mystery is not something that's concealed. It's something that's revealed. It's an encrypted message that is revealed. So when you're speaking in tongues, you are it's initially encrypted, but over time, you get insight from the Holy Spirit about what you're praying for. And that's what this is. God has a safeguarded, specialized information, knowledge, and insight for those who are mature. Well, what does it mean to be mature? It means you move past elementary things. You know, there's a passage in Hebrews. I won't go there right now, but it says, by this time, you should be a teacher. But you're not. I got to take you back to the elementary things. You should have graduated from that already, but you're still there. You're still worrying about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and what you're going to drink. You're still worrying about that. God says, let the Gentiles worry about that. I take care of that for you. Why are you worried about that? That's what's preoccupying your mind. How I'm going to eat today. Oh, how I'm going to pay my bills. Oh, that's what you're worrying about? That's low-level stuff. When you're an ambassador for the kingdom, the government pays your expenses. So you can focus on the concerns of government policy. God wants you to think about things of the kingdom, and you got to be mature enough to receive it and not so boggled down in these low-level things that you just, well, you can't respond. And what's ironic is that you have believers and the power, the wisdom to access all these things is sitting on the inside of them, but effectively sitting dormant because they won't grow. You know, there's ministries out there, and I'm not criticizing them. I'm actually complimenting them, right? There are ministries out there, and their focus is on nurturing people who won't grow. Okay, and they're like that because God shows mercy to people. There's some people there, they're never going to move on in life because they do not want to grow. So they will continually just be dependent on people who will have mercy on them and help them where they are. And God does that because of his mercy. His mercy. There's always a place to help people who are destitute. There are always a place for people who are, there's always a place in God's heart to help people who can't get help in any other kind of way. God's going to meet you there. He just don't want you to stay there. Because you got to get a place where you mature and you rely on the Lord for everything you need instead of relying on people. You got to change your mindset. Okay? So there are people out there, they got access to the power, they've been saved by the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit sits inside of them, but they can't access it because they will not mature. Paul talks about this in Ephesians 3:20. He says, now to him who is able, he's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. He's able to do it. He's able to do it. Don't mean he will do it. Because look what it's tied to. Because the things he would do go beyond what we're willing to consider. Man, he got answers for your problems that you will not consider them because you don't like the way he's doing it. I mean, I got to do that? I'm not doing that. It's a solution, though. It's a pathway forward. You'll be blessed, but I don't want to do that. Okay. Stay stuck. Listen, some of you have been praying, and then God gives you a solution. You're like, eh. But you don't recognize it's God. You think people are just talking, but that's God responding. You've been praying, God's responding, but you don't want to listen to it because it don't match your thinking, your thought process. Well, I'm not really, that ain't really my personality. And I don't really do stuff like that. You know, in my family, we don't really do. Okay. But God is saying when he shares his mind, don't shut down. In fact, he tells us, Hebrews 3:7, he says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. He already knows how we are. He already knows. He said, listen, I'm going to say some stuff to you, and I know how you are. When it happens, don't shut down. Stay open. You want to become what I call a kingdom insider, because when God's talking to you, he's giving you inside information. When he gives you information beyond the things explicitly written in Scripture, because everybody can read that, atheists can read that. But when the Holy Spirit talked to you, oh, that's inside information. He don't tell that to, he don't show himself to everybody. Not like that. And sometimes, you know, he's trying to talk to you and you don't spend time. You know, he's trying to talk to you. You know how he's trying to talk to you? When we say, go read your Bible every day. When we say pray every day. That's when he's trying to talk to you. You don't realize, you think it's just something you got to do to make you, you know, be right with God. No, he's trying to fill you with something. He's trying to give you something. He got daily disbursements, just like your webs. It's like you go online, you see a website, it don't look the same every day. In fact, it updates every several minutes. That's how God is. You keep coming to him, he got an update for you. But we don't want to hear from God, so then God got to send somebody to give a prophetic word and talk to you. He can't, you didn't block him from the communication, so he going to send you come to church. He'll send somebody to prophesy you, talk to you, encourage you. And then some of you won't even come to church. You don't let people talk to you. And he really can't get to you. Then you're just streaming. And God is running out of options with you. When he want to talk to you and give you some insight. He want to give you inside information. Stuff he don't tell everybody. He don't reveal himself to everyone. So when he talks, take it seriously. And taking it seriously is taking your time with God seriously. Individually and corporately. Sometimes you got to hear from God. Sometimes we got to hear from God. Yeah. And for us to hear from God, we got to see God, what, together. Amen. There's insights, and we're going to talk about it today. There's innovation. There's witty inventions. There are things from the Lord that we won't receive till we seek God. Now, you can seek God, and that'll be great. And he'll give things to you. But there's things he wants to give, what, to us. But he will give it to us when we seek the Lord. We got to make it a priority to pray together, to worship together, to seek God together. When the church calls you to pray, take it seriously. There's a disbursement coming. If I told you, whatever company just sponsored us and they're giving out free televisions, they're giving out, they're going to pay off your student loans if you just here at a certain time, who's going to be late to that? But when God shows up and he has supernatural insight, because why? We're not expecting anything. You come when you're expecting something. We come to prayer, we ain't expecting nothing. We just think we're coming because, you know, the church says we got to be there. And some of us do that because our prayers are, we ain't getting no results from our prayers because you're not consistent. The key is to keep doing it. You just pray when you inspired? Oh, that God will sometimes answer prayers like that. But for consistent results, you got to be a consistent person who prays and seeks the Lord by yourself with groups. Why? Because God is giving wisdom, but not through your phone, through the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't value what he says, and by value, I mean hearing and doing, you're hearing to do, not just hearing to hear. Don't just be happy. I was in church, you know, I got the stream, you know, I was there. Don't count me, I was there. But are you doing it? When you don't value what he says, he's going to mute the line so that when he talks, you can't even hear him. You can't hear anything meaningful or helpful or insightful. You ever see somebody in church, you got everything out of it, and they sitting there clueless like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Because their line is muted. Because they don't have an ear to hear and do. They don't value his communication and all the ways he communicates. He communicates to us several ways. Again, individual time with the Lord, in scripture, in prayer time, as we're fasting, through the message, through corporate prayer, all these kind of ways he's talking to us. Jesus gets into more detail about this in the parable of the sower, Matthew 13, verse 10. He says this, then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. So why does he speak in parables? Because there's two tiers of communication. I'm talking, but I'm talking to different people at the same time. They're in the same room, same stream, but I'm talking to different people. Some people get it, and if you know, you know. If you don't know, you don't know. Okay? The whole, I'm not going to go over the parable of the sower, but the whole parable is about, listen, I'm talking, but there's levels to this. There's levels to this. And like, Jesus was like, where are you at with this? Okay? So this first thing he's saying, he's talking about two tiers of communication. The first tier of communication is a hidden invitation to ask for more information. It's a, God will give you something he know you don't understand just to see what you're going to do. And if it's not important enough for you to seek more wisdom, you ain't the one anyway. You ain't serious anyway. Not if you know it's the Lord. Jesus used parables to test people's readiness for a more intimate understanding of the truth. What do you do when you don't understand something? What do you do when you're confused or unsettled about something that comes from the Lord or comes from the scripture or comes from the teaching or comes from whatever source it is, right? Do you pivot into a search for wisdom or do you vent your frustrations with everyone who will give their ear to you? I don't understand. You're talking to everybody but God. You're talking to everybody but the Lord. And see, what you do, when you hear something you don't understand, what you do next is so critical because so much is at stake. Because he breaks it down in Matthew 13, 19. He's starting to explain the parable. He says, listen, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, okay, that's going to happen. For whatever reason, maybe it's spiritual, maybe it's natural, maybe the communicator wasn't effective, whatever the case may be, you don't understand it. The enemy's licking his lips. You not understanding something is like a lion seeing a deer with a broken leg. He's going in. He's like, this is my opportunity. You don't understand, right? So what does it say? The evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Now, what, you blaming me for not understanding? No, I'm blaming you for how you respond when you don't understand. Because the people the enemy gets are the people who just leave it there. I don't understand. I'm mad. I'm frustrated. This don't make sense. And then he starts talking to them, and he just talks them away from where they are with the Lord. He talks them away from getting the kingdom message. And what they had, it eventually leaves. When you don't understand something, it's a test. Both God and Satan are testing your commitment. God wants to see if he can trust you with insight. Now, God's like, I got some stuff that's going to blow your mind away, but you can't handle this part. You wrestling with this. You ain't ready. Satan wants to see if he can exploit your ignorance to compel you to reject what God is telling you. Just because you don't understand doesn't mean something's wrong. Stay with it. The scripture said, it's in there. Let it grow and develop. Say, God, this don't make sense, but I trust you. Give me some insight. Give me some understanding. Help me see how this lines up with the word. All this. Give me some insight. In fact, James 1:5 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask the person sitting next to you. Whew. Let me ask AI. They know most things, right? Let me talk to AI. No, let him ask God, who gives sparingly, generously. God's like, it took you long enough. Right? Generously to all without, he's not mad at you because you have a question. He ain't mad. And it will be given him. That's a promise. That's a promise. And if so, if you believe it, if you believe that, you'll do it. And if something really is off, he's going to tell you that too. But when people who seek God for wisdom show that they are ready to be part of the second tier of communication. And that second tier is for kingdom insiders, people who are ready to hear and obey. People who have an ear to hear and not just an ear. People have an ear to hear and do and not just an ear to hear. Let's see, want to go with this here. So, okay. Okay. We'll keep going here. So Jesus expounds here, Matthew 13:12. Here's the upside to this. Once you pass the first test, it's like exponentially, your spiritual growth is like exponentially move forward. Okay? He says it in verse 12. He says, for the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. Now, part of that don't make sense. Aren't you supposed to give wisdom to the ignorant? The ignorant people don't want it. That's why they're ignorant. They don't want it. They're not interested. They got better things to do. So this is like the rich get richer. Why come? And now this is not an explanation for everybody's situation. I'm not making this like everybody's situation. But it does explain some people, like to some people, they never go. They still taxiing in the runway. They never actually fly. They just taxiing. Because, and then it seems like other people, it ends up working out that they keep moving forward. What's the difference? Because they have an ear to hear and God keeps giving them more. See, here's the thing. You think if I give, I'm gonna have less. It's the opposite. The more you give, the more God blesses. You think, well, if I minister to somebody else, who's gonna minister to me? You don't understand. It's the person doing ministry who receives the most ministry. You think, well, if I teach somebody else, how they gonna teach me? You don't understand. The person teaching is the chief learner. You get more insight from teaching than you do passively receiving information from somebody in the front. And people who don't lean in, they think they're going to be left holding the bag, so they don't want to lean into what God says, because the stuff he says asks you to do stuff. Well, God, if I do that, well, I don't want to do that. I can just smell, I can smell sacrifice and commitment. I ain't got time for that. But the outcome is abundance. And then it says, but from the one who has not, because you're trying to save it, trying to squander it, trying to keep it, even what he has will be taken away. Your efforts to safeguard your own interests will fail. You're going to have less than you would have had if you just submitted what you had to the Lord and gave it out. I'm going to take this moment to take us to some degree, speaking prophetically about our church, right? And I kind of introduced it last week. I talked about how the grace that God has given to our church is a grace for innovation. Specifically, innovation and problem solving, okay? And it's linked to the things I've just been talking about. God has things he wants to share with us that are, they're just different. And the average person's not ready or poised to receive it. But he's grooming a people that when he speaks, they'll listen and they'll receive. And the innovation that will come from this church as a result of having that posture is, I don't have words to describe it. People will come here for the purpose of solving problems. People, companies, countries. We have a problem no one can fix, but I've heard about you. And I'm desperate. I don't even worship your God. Talk to your God and give me an answer. Go talk to your God and give me an answer. Did that not happen in the Bible? When Daniel, who was, abducted from his country serving, they didn't serve worship God. And like, this man has wisdom. And they said, in him is the spirit of the living God. Talk to your God and give us an answer. That's how you need to be in your companies. You should have a reputation. This person, I don't know what you're doing in that office. Go in there. Let me know. You seek the Lord. Give us an answer. Listen, the world does this for other gods. Oh, it's people. You go high up enough in various industries. It's people chanting and talking to all kind of new age stuff. They are appealing for supernatural help. They already doing it. But they gods can't help them like our God could help them. And you're going to have an answer to practical things. Spiritual things, but also practical things. He's going to give you the formula. If you're in science, he's going to give you the algorithm. He's going to give you the invention. He's going to give you the diplomatic solution. All this crazy stuff going on in our world, there's answers to them. Now, listen, part of it is we know there's a future. This age is going to end in a certain kind of way. Certain kind of spiritual force is going to happen. Certain things are going to happen in the world. One day there'll be an antichrist, all those other kind of things. So some of that is probably leading up to that. We understand that. But at the same time, as believers, we can have specific interventions at certain times to be a witness for Jesus in the midst of it. This world is passing away. We can see it with our eyes. It's crumbling. But we are testifying of a kingdom that will not pass. We are ambassadors of a, we're not from here. We're not relying on your food. We're not relying on your money. We're in here, but we're not from here. And it has to be your posture. When this economy goes down, I'm tied to a different economy. I got peace. When you are an ambassador and you go to another country, you don't eat their food. They ship food from your home country to the embassy. You eat their food, their doctors. When you are in the embassy, you are in the home country. You ain't in their country. And when they having war, they got an army all around. You cool, you good. That's how we should be. And in you is the Holy Spirit. In you is the Spirit of the living God that's giving you solutions to problems. You being committed to your prayer life ain't just about you, but he has answers for the world. And our church will have a special grace for that. In all kinds of areas. And I've mentioned a few of them because they're prominent. In fact, if you've been a part of our church for the last couple decades, two, 3 decades, you've noticed, even probably picked up on the spirit of innovation. Even my father, who has a business background, we've been a very entrepreneurial church. We've literally talked about entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is about creativity. We've been very expressive in the arts. In fact, there's a whole cohort of folks who have come through our church, and I can name 10 to 12 of them. And if I name them, some of you would know who they are. Some of them have influence in the entertainment industry. It's just a group of them. They've just been doing it, okay? And if you've heard any of my father's sermons throughout the years, you hear him talking about inventions and witty inventions and ideas and being acclimated to scientific breakthroughs. The spirit of that is here in our church. It's present. It's an anointing. It's a grace that God will release in its fullness as we have one vision and one voice. He is forging us into a tribe. Whatever your background is, whatever your experience is, we're going to be one tribe with this one vision, one voice, and what's going to be known about us is a spirit of innovation. In fact, let me take you to Chronicles for a second here. I'm going to skip through portions of my notes here so I can get to that part. 1 Chronicles 2, verse 32. There was a tribe here. He listed all the 12 tribes of Israel. They were each contributing to David's army, but there's a particular tribe. And what did it say? It says, of Issachar, men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. It was particular with that tribe. They had an anointing. Don't know why that was happening with them or not. I'm just telling you prophetically, there's a grace like that on our church. Okay, but what it requires of us is that we've got it. We can't look at our commitment to God as I'm free to be me. No, you are free to serve. You are free. Again, you can't. It was impossible for you to serve God before Jesus. In fact, if you look at the Exodus story, and it's so interesting because African-Americans have run to this story so many times, and it's great, but there's a part of it that gets missed from the analogy of Exodus. And I want to show you here, Exodus 3, verse 12. Says this. He said, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt. What are you going to do? You shall serve God. You shall serve God. He says this multiple times in Exodus. Look, he says it again, Exodus 4, verse 23. Actually, verse started 22. Exodus 4, 22. He says, then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son, and I say to you, let my son go. Why? That he may serve me. Exodus 7, 16, it says this, and you shall say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to say to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me. Exodus 8, 20, okay, what does it say? Then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that he may serve me. We focus on freedom from Pharaoh. We don't put emphasis on serving the Lord. Those go together. And when we lose the part where we're serving God, we miss the other part of the blessing. Now, this is going to sound strange to people's ears, but it's in Scripture. What does Paul say in Romans? He says, you were slaves to unrighteousness, and now you are to be slaves to righteousness. Our problem is we don't like the word slave. We done with serving. We free. I ain't picking nobody's cotton. I'm not. And so when God sends you to do things that remind you of your bondage, you tell God no. Because I'm not. But you forget that there's another story about slavery. Man named Joseph. He was a house slave. But he made a decision to reimagine what was happening in his bondage for the purpose of something bigger. And instead of saying, I'm not, No matter how God had bad for it, God, how bad it got for him, wherever he was enslaved, he prospered. Wherever he was enslaved, he prospered. God, why are you sending me here? If another person does me wrong, you know how many times Joseph had to be offended to say, these people, they've done this to me, they've done that to me. You don't understand, God's using you. Go to Genesis. Let's see. Let's just go to Genesis 45, verse 4. Look at Joseph's perspective. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." His brothers sold him into slavery. And now they're begging for mercy from him. And you know, he messed with him a little bit. He has some fun with it. If you read the story, okay? He kind of, you know, he's not going to harm them, but he messes with them a little bit. But I mean, most people would, you know, they're going to get their revenge. He says, "Come near to me, please." And they said, and they came there, and he said, "I'm your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt." If you had this opportunity with your enslavers, what would you do? What would you do? This is an idea that doesn't make sense. It's from the Lord. It's from the Lord, but most people would resist that. And he said, "I'm your brother Joseph, whom you sold in Egypt. And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." Let me pause here for a second, because I know what some people are thinking. Well, did God, you know, enslave people so he can do that? No, what God does is repurpose things. For things that were purposed for evil, he repurposes them for good. Because humans do what humans do. People have a free will. They cause destruction. They hurt people's lives. It wasn't intended for good, but God repurposes it for good. Joseph had to make a decision to think of it that way. And I asked somebody a few weeks ago, you know, what I've been talking about diversity and what have you, and I made the statement, you know, let's make a distinction between white supremacy and then white people and white culture. Those things aren't necessarily the same. I had somebody come to me after church and they would say, "I don't know about that. How can you separate those two? I think it's the same." Okay, it's a rational question, right? Because of, you know, the whole experience of white culture and all those other kind of things. And what I told the person is, well, first of all, I believe the gospel, okay? No one's excluded from redemption. No one's excluded from redemption. So you can't exclude and say some people Jesus can't really save. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, listen, people can say the same thing about black folk if they want to. They can go to statistics and go to the culture and say they ain't no good. If they wanted to, it ain't no good ones out there. Let me give you the proof. Okay. But the third reason is I just make it my business to think that way. I hold space for people to see people in a noble way. Because it leaves opportunity for God to, you don't know. How you know he can't use them? How you know he can't redeem them? How you know that? Joseph was burned by his brothers. Then he goes, gets sold into slavery. He's serving this man. He's helping this man. Great. And then the man's wife lies on him, and he gets burned again. Then he goes to prison, helps the prison prosper. He helps these people in prison. He said, "Listen, when you bust out of here, help me. Help a brother." They forget about him. If anybody should be bitter, it's him. But he made a decision to say, "God, you're doing, I don't understand it. I haven't seen it, but I'm not gonna go to this other place here." He says, God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which you will neither be plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me, but God. And once you know it, oh, God's overseeing this. I'm gonna relax. Once you know it's the Lord overseeing it, you can relax. Enjoy the ride. I like what he says in Genesis 50, because his brothers were still nervous, right? Genesis 50, verse 15, he says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him. So they sent a message. Because, you know, daddy, he gone now. So that's probably the one reason he ain't put a hit out on us. He didn't want to bother daddy. So, woo, we got to figure something out, guys, okay? So verse 16 says, so they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. That's interesting. I hope they said that before. I hope this is not the first time they're saying that, but Joseph's weeping. You know why? Because he's already given this to the Lord. He has no hatred. He has no hatred. You know what that means? It's possible. It's possible, and you just don't want to do it. It's possible. But the reason why you're not is because you don't want to. He continues. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. If Joseph wanted to be vindictive, look at his opportunity. Okay? But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? Vengeance doesn't belong to you. Let me tell you something. Vengeance is not bad. It just doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. He has all proprietary, takes all proprietary claims on vengeance. If you deal with it, you mess it up. He said, I'm not in the place of God. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. See that repurpose? To bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph, subjected to slavery. But on the same token, God used him with divine insights. There's other people like that. We talked about Daniel. Esther's the same. Esther was a sex slave. Daniel was a house slave. They're all slaves. That, okay, but I'm going to choose to be a slave to God, which is going to free me from the slavery you have on me. Being a slave to God means when he says something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Amen. I don't like it, but I'm going to do it. Amen. That's what you do when you're a slave, right? You do stuff you don't want to do because your master says you got to do it. But the difference is God ain't a bad master. He's a good master. Yes. I know I get that sounding strange to people's ears because of the whole context for slavery. I totally understand that. But what's happened is we're so happy to be free. I don't have to do that stuff anymore. We don't want to go back into, wait a minute, I ain't free from that so I can be a servant again. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. But it's a servitude that gives you, you are freer. See, when God is your master, you got to do what he says, but then he takes care of you. He actually takes care of you. You're going to have a better life, and he's going to use you to touch people's lives like Joseph, like Esther, like Daniel. I'm free. I'm not free, but I'm free. Like, I'm not free. I'm not free to do whatever I want, but I'm free. I got to do what he says, but it doesn't make sense in your head. Like, the more submitted you are to God, the more liberated you are in life. The more submitted you are, the more authority he gives you. It's amazing. People who want power, who want control, who want influence, and they refuse to submit. But God is saying, if you serve me, it will go exceeding abundantly beyond what you're currently imagining. Are you ready? Are you ready?